Lord, we thank you for this wonderful occasion for us to be here in your temple to learn from your words.
主，你打开我们的心门，让我们从你的话语来认识你的旨意。
Lord, please open our hearts so that we may understand and know your will through your word.
也借着你的话语，让我们能够跟你更亲近。
Draw us closer to you through your word.
主，更愿你借着你的话语，让我们有属灵的智慧。
And give us your spiritual wisdom through your word.
让我们能够满心知道你的旨意。
Help us have a full knowledge of your will.
求主带领祝福我们的学习。
Lord, please lead and guide us in our learning.
让我们每个人灵性能够不断的成长。
Help each one of us grow spiritually.
成为一个器皿，合用的器皿来服侍你。
Make us useful vessels to your service.
愿主带领世人祝福我们的讲习会。
Please guide and bless our seminar, Lord.
我们愿荣耀颂赞归你的圣名。
May all the glory and praise be to your holy name.
Amen.
Amen.
请坐。
Please be seated.
在这次讲习会被安排有九节的时间跟大家来学习以西结书。
I've been assigned 9 sessions to study the book of Ezekiel with you.
以赛亚、耶利米跟以西结都被称作是大先知书。
Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel are known as the major prophets.
他们这书信有一个共同的重点，就是在提醒以色列百姓要赶快回头，不然神将会降灾祸。
One of the common themes among these books is that the people of Israel must repent, or else God's calamity will come upon them.
那个灾祸就是神的选民要被掳，圣城要被毁。
The calamity being the exile of the people of God and the destruction of God's temple.
那这对以色列百姓来讲，这是一件非常大的事情。
And this was a very major warning from God.
我们想想看哈，我们现在在中国大陆以外真耶稣教会的信徒最多的地方是哪里？
Let's think about this. Outside of mainland China, which country has the most membership today?
应该是在台湾嘛。
Taiwan.
大概有四万五千个信徒。
There are about 45,000 members there.
那如果今天这个四万五千个信徒被掳了
，Now suppose these 45,000 church members are carried into exile today.
比方说，全部被掳到中国大陆去了。
For example, if they were carried into exile to China.
那这不是一个大事吗？
Wouldn't that be a catastrophic event?
这对整个真耶稣教会来讲，这是大事。
It would be such a major event in the history of the True Jesus Church.
大家马上会想，那为什么真耶稣这是真教会，那信徒神没有保守，会被掳到其他的地方去呢？
We would definitely question why is it that even though they are True Jesus Church members, God did not protect them from being carried into exile.
或者说。我们看到我们教会的会堂
，or let's suppose the chapel of the church
全部都被烧掉了
，is completely burned to the ground
所以我们有信徒，但是没有会堂
，we the believers have no place of worship
这个也是大事情
，this would be definitely a catastrophic event
因为我们常常说献堂就是把这个建筑物献给神当圣所，我们来聚会。
We have dedicated this chapel to be a sanctuary to for us to worship God.
那如果这个我们聚会的这个会堂都被烧掉了，大家会问说，为什么神没有保守呢？如果神是全能的
，If this chapel is ever burned to the ground, we'll also question why is it that the Almighty God did not protect this building?
那在当时的圣殿里面有约柜。
In the temple was the Ark of the Covenant.
约柜是放在至圣所。
It was placed in the Holy of Holies.
那约柜啊，常常有神施恩的宝座，有神施恩的宝座。
And on the Ark of the Covenant was God's mercy seat.
那神常常降临在圣殿啊，跟以色列百姓同在。
God would come into the temple to dwell among the Israelites.
特别是在旷野，这是很清楚的。
And this was clearly manifest in the wilderness journey.
那现在这个圣殿被火烧掉了。
Now the temple had been destroyed.
约柜也不晓得去哪里了。
The ark was lost.
这个对以色列百姓，这是一个非常大的事情。
This was a great calamity upon the Israelites.
因为以色列百姓知道他们是神的选民。
The Israelites knew that they were God's chosen people.
他们跟神是有立约的百姓。
They were a people of covenant with God.
那耶路撒冷，他们认为是他们的圣城。
Jerusalem was considered their sacred or holy city.
但是耶路撒冷被占领了，啊，圣殿被焚烧了，百姓被掳到外国去。
Jerusalem had been sacked, and the temple was burned down, and God, the people of God were carried into exile.
这是以色列民在他们历史里面啊最严重的一件事情。
This was the greatest tragedy in the history of Israel.
那为什么虽然他们跟神有盟约，但是神没有保守他们
？Why is it that God did not protect His people with whom He had established a covenant?
啊，为什么这个城是圣城，奉献给神，但是神还是没有保守，让他们被烧掉呢
？Why did God not stop His holy city from being burned to the ground?
那这个代表，一定以色列百姓在神面前有相当严重的错误。
Behind this lies the reason that the Israelites had committed great sins against God.
但是神给他们机会，他们没有回头。
Even before this tragedy, God had given them the opportunity to repent, but they did not.
所以到最后，神的公义就来到了。
That is why ultimately God's justice came upon them.
但是神的公义来到，也不是要完全毁灭他们。
But when God exercised His justice, He did not intend to destroy them completely.
神的公义来到是要让他们知道罪的结果是可怕的。
God exercised His justice so that they would realize how dreadful sin is.
让他们对自己的罪有觉醒。
God wanted them to be aware of their sinful behavior.
当所有的提醒都起不了作用的时候，最后苦难就来到。
When all the warnings and reminders were to no avail, God's sufferings came.
在苦难当中，他们回头。
And they were restored in their suffering.
回头之后，神的慈爱又来到了。
And after they were restored, God's love came upon them again.
所以神的意念不是降灾祸的意念。
Therefore, God did not intend to bring them calamity.
以西结书说，神不愿看到死人的死。
As Jeremiah tells us, God does not delight in the death of a sinner.
神的意念是要降赐平安的意念。
Because God's intention is to give us peace.
那在这个三个先知里面，以西结先知是在被掳之地做先知的。
Among the major prophets, Ezekiel was a prophet while he was in the land of the exile.
因为一部分已经被掳了，那他是在被掳当中，他已经在巴比伦那个地方了。
He was among the captives who had been carried to, were brought to Babylon.
但是虽然被掳，但是圣城还没有被攻陷，还没有被占领，那个圣殿还没有被焚烧。
He was among the captives who were taken prior to the destruction and burning of the holy city and the temple.
所以他在被掳的这个巴比伦当中，他一直从神领受这个责任使命一直要提醒以色列百姓怎么样赶快回头。
While he was being in captivity in Babylon, God came to him and gave him the commission to remind and warn the Israelites to return to God.
最后他看到神给他一个兆头，就是他的太太会离世。
And later God gave him a sign, which was that his wife would die.
那叫他不可以哭。
And God commanded him not to mourn for her.
那这个兆头就预表这个圣城会被掳，会被毁掉。
This sign was a symbolic prediction of the destruction of the holy city and the temple.
因为以色列百姓所爱的就是这个圣城。
Because the holy city was loved by the Israelites.
就像以西结所爱的就是他的太太。
Just as Ezekiel's wife was loved by him.
所以圣城会被毁掉。
Likewise, the temple would be destroyed.
那这个意象过了不久，圣城就真的被攻陷了。
Shortly after Ezekiel received this sign, the temple, the city, holy city, was destroyed.
以色列百姓就被全部被掳了。
And all of the Israelites were taken into captivity at that time.
所以神的公义就实现，
God's justice was meted out against them.
那这个以后, 啊, 神就开始再提到, 啊, 一些安慰的讯息。
Starting from that point, God began to send them messages of comfort.
从33章开始就提到一些安慰的讯息。
And we can read about these messages of comfort starting chapter 33.
一直到最后, 48章。
All the way to the end of the book, chapter 48.
就提到神的慈爱。
This is the section about God's love.
好，那在以西结书里面呢， 我们看到神的荣耀的离开， 还有神的荣耀的降临。
In Ezekiel, we also read about departure and return of God's glory.
到了以西结书的 十几章的时候， 十三四章的时候， 就看到神的荣耀离开了。
Around chapters 13 and 14, we can read about the departure of God's glory.
一步一步到最后神的荣耀离开了这个圣殿。
Step by step, God's glory left his temple.
那神的荣耀离开圣殿，那个圣殿被毁的命运就已经被决定了。
When God's glory finally left the temple, the destiny of the temple was decided.
因为神已经离开了。
Because God's presence had left the temple.
这是在第十章，以西结这个第十章。
This is actually found in chapter 10.
神的荣耀离开圣城。The
glory departs from the temple.
然后十一章就预告他们将被掳。And
starting from chapter 11, God predicted their destruction.
但是到了以西结书的47章以后。 43章，
after Ezekiel chapter 43,
又说圣殿充满着荣光。
We learn that the glory of God filled the temple.
第十章这个荣光已经离开了，神的荣耀已经离开了。
In chapter 10, God's glory had left the temple.
但到43章，神的荣耀又降临在这个圣殿。
But in chapter 43, God's glory filled the temple again.
但是如果我们比较这两个殿，发现就不太一样。
But we noticed that these are actually two different temples.
第十章那个殿是指着所罗门当时所盖的殿。
The temple in chapter 10 was the temple that Solomon had built.
这是物质的。
This was the physical temple.
所以那个物质的殿被拆掉了。
The physical temple had been demolished.
但是到了第43章，这个殿就是属灵的。
But the temple we read about in chapter 43 is a spiritual temple.
是盖在高山上的。
It was to be built on a high mountain.
然后神的荣光充满在那个殿里面。
And God's glory filled that temple.
那个门是朝东的。
The gate of that temple is towards the east.
然后从那个门有活水流出来。
And from that gate flowed the living water.
所以我们可以看以西结书是从物质的殿开始，是从属灵的殿结束的。
Therefore, we can say that Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, began with the physical temple and ends with the spiritual temple.
那我们知道，当时以色列百姓在旷野地所造那个会幕，后来演变成所罗门所盖的圣殿。
As we know, the tabernacle the Israelites erected in the wilderness was the antecedent of the temple that Solomon later built.
那这个圣殿就是预表新约时代的教会。
And this temple was the prefiguration of the New Testament church.
因此神的荣光再一次降临是降临在这个属灵的真教会上里面。
Therefore, Ezekiel's vision that God's glory came into the temple is a prefiguration that God's glory will fill the true church.
所以以西结书跟我们末世的真教会是有关系的，虽然它是旧约时代，旧约圣经的一卷书信。
Therefore, even though Ezekiel is an Old Testament book, it has a lot to do with the New Testament church.
那我们在学习以西结书，就要看那个殿，怎么神的荣耀会离开。
As we study Ezekiel, one question we must find an answer to is why God's glory left the temple in the first place.
那既然真教会就是那个殿的预表真教会，也让我们提醒我们教会应该怎么样来治理管理。
And if that temple served as a prefiguration of the true church, this vision should remind us how to administer or serve in this church.
使我们这个属灵的殿能够常常充满神的荣耀。
So that this spiritual temple can be always full of God's glory.
那在这个圣城还没有被毁，圣殿没有被烧以前，神要做最后的挽回，就是拣选他的工人来做这件事情。
Before God destroyed his temple, God allowed his temple to be destroyed. He chose his servants to do with a commission.
因此以利、以赛亚、耶利米或者以西结他们所担负的责任非常的重。
Therefore, the commission or the responsibility of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel was very heavy.
因为这个以色列百姓他们那个信仰的堕落已经变成你没有办法挽回的一个潮流。
The corruption of the faith of the Israelites had become an almost irreversible trend.
那这个三个先知，他们虽然是孤单的一个人，他们要把这个潮流把它挽回过来，这不是这么简单的事情。
These three prophets, as individuals, had a great challenge to restore the faith of the Israelites, and that was definitely not an easy thing.
但是只有他们能够把这个以色列百姓的信仰能够挽回过来，圣殿才不会被拆毁。
But only if they restore the faith of the Israelites would the temple be spared of destruction.
So
as we can see, their responsibility was indeed very great.
如果圣城被拆毁，圣殿被焚烧，在属灵上好像是他们的末日。
If the holy city was destroyed and the temple burned down, that would be considered the end time for the Israelites.
那以西结的先知这个责任就太大了。So
the responsibility upon Ezekiel was so great.
那今天我们在这个末世的世代里面。Today,
living in this end time.
我们的责任也非常的重大。Our
responsibility is just as great.
所以以西结从书第一章到第三章，就是在记载以西结承受使命。
Ezekiel chapters 1 through 3 record the commission given to Ezekiel.
就是神怎么拣选他来承受这个责任。
We read about God's calling of Ezekiel.
那我们看这个三卷，以赛亚、耶利米、以西结，还有其他旧约圣经，看神的选召都有一个很重要的共同点。
There is a common trait among the three books, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, as well as other books of the Old Testament.
就是当一神要重用一个人，要叫他承担很重要的责任的时候，那个选召都是很清楚的，很直接的。
The common trait is that when God calls someone to be his servant, his calling was very direct and clear.
而且神 给他们的那种属灵上的经验，对神的经验是非常有力量的，是没有办法抹消的。And
God gave them spiritual experiences that were deeply impressed upon them, and that could not be erased.
那这个今天让我们来思想，就是到底这对我们来讲是什么意思？What
does this mean to us today?
以西结书里面，神开始要呼召以西结是第二章。
God's calling of Ezekiel began with chapter 2.
但是神呼召以西结书之前，在第一章神显异象给他看。But
in chapter 1, God showed a vision to Ezekiel.
我们看第一章的第一节。Let's
read chapter 1, verse 1.
说当三十年四月五日，以西结在加巴鲁河边被掳的人中，天就开了，得见神的异象。这里说， 天开了，看到神显现异象给他看。The
heavens were opened, and he saw visions of God.
在整个以西结书里面，一共有四个异象。There
are four visions recorded in Ezekiel.
第一章到第三章是蒙召的异象。Chapters
1 through 3 is the vision of God's calling.
第八章到十一章是圣殿败坏的异象。Chapter
8 to chapter 11 is the vision of the destruction of the temple.
那37章是在讲看到这个枯干的骨头变成大军队的异象。
I'm sorry, chapter 8 to 11 is the corruption It's the vision on the corruption of the temple in
37章 啊, 是在讲这枯干的骨头哦变成大军队的意象。
And chapter 37 is the vision of how the dry bones became a mighty army.
啊，那40章到48章是在讲末后圣城的意象。
And chapters 40 to 48 is the vision of the temple of the latter days.
哦，所以今天啊，如果我们有人看到意象，这并不是什么陌生的事情。
So if someone were to see visions today, it should not be a strange phenomenon to us.
因为我们虽然住在这个物质界，但是我们所拜的神是在灵界里面。
Although we live in this material world, the God we worship lives in the spiritual realm.
所以神有时候让我们对这个灵界有一个更清楚的认识，就显异象让我们看到。
Sometimes to help us gain a better understanding of the spiritual realm, God shows us visions.
那第二章神要拣选以西结，第一章神显异象给他看。
Before God called Ezekiel in chapter 2, God first showed him a vision as recorded in chapter 1.
哦，那我们在这个问题思考下面有一个第一个问题，为什么蒙召以前神要显异象给以西结看？
If you refer to the first discussion question, why did God show the vision to Ezekiel before calling him to serve?
哦，我们知道以赛亚被蒙召之前，
As we know, before Isaiah was called,
他也看到异象。
He too saw a vision.
啊，看主坐在高高的宝座上。
He saw the Lord seated high above, on his throne.
衣裳下垂，遮盖圣殿。
And the train of his robe, covered the whole temple.
哦，然后看到撒拉佛在神面前侍立。
And he saw seraphs, serving before God.
哦，在呼叫圣哉圣哉。
And they cried out.Holy, holy, holy.
然后殿的根基震动。
And the foundation of the temple was shaken.
圣殿充满荣耀。
And the temple was filled with God's glory.
然后呼召才来到。
Then came God's calling.
那耶利米书里面的呼召，神告诉耶利米。
In Jeremiah, this was how God called him.
这是很清楚的，神告诉他。
God told him very clearly that he was called.
说他在母腹当中神已经分别他为圣。
God told him that he had sanctified him even while he was in his mother's womb.
所以我们看到他们的这个呼召对神的体验都很清楚。
So we can see that all of these prophets had a very clear calling and experience of God.
但是我们看他们的做工啊都很辛苦。
But we also realized that their ministry was very hard.
而且牺牲都很大。
And their sacrifices were great.
但是他们都没有退步，都没有后退。
Yet they never backed off from their ministry.
这个对跟他们对神的认识跟体验有绝对的关系。
And their persistence had everything to do with their knowledge of God.
有时候我们要让一个人做一个事情啊，第一个要有什么利益来让吸引他。
When you want somebody to do something for you, you usually give him some incentive.
但是我们现在的利益常常就不是名就是金钱。
And nowadays, incentives are usually either fame or wealth.
这个是日光之下的。
These are incentives under the sun.
在你没有对灵界没有了解的时候，这都是最好的。
These are the best incentives that people who don't know the spiritual realm can have.
但是当一个人能够看到日光之上，那你看不见那个灵界的时候。
But if you're able to see above the sun, that is, if you're able to see the spiritual realm,
我们就发现地上的美好都是粪土。
You'll realize that all the good things in this world are considered rubbish.
因为我们已经看到最好。
Because we have seen the best.
那我们看到那个最好的，这个就是我们在服侍神的一个动力。
When we have seen what is the best, that becomes a motivation to us in our service.
我们竭力想要得到那最好的。
So we strive to receive that best reward.
所以牺牲受苦都很愿意。
And that motivates us to accept all kinds of sufferings.
保罗说，自战自谦的苦楚，要为我成就极重无比的荣耀。
Paul said that the light and momentary sufferings were achieving for him the great and eternal glory.
保罗看过第三层天。
Paul had been to the third heavens.
那是好的无比的。
which was better than anything he had seen.
保罗对神的认识很深。
Paul had a profound understanding of God.
所以我们在保罗的传道旅程当中，看他受很多的苦。
Even though he suffered greatly in his ministry.
那我们就问一个问题，为什么？
We ask, why did he suffer like this?
他在地上没有什么报酬。
He wasn't rewarded on earth.
他甚至要支帐篷来供给自己的需要。
He even had to make tents to provide for his own living.
但是他把他路走到完。
But he was able to finish the race.
他把那个仗打到底。
He was able to fight the good fight.
其中一个原因就是他已经看到那个极重无比的荣耀在天国。
One motivation he had was that he had seen the eternal glory in the heavenly kingdom.
所以今天我们要蒙神选召如果能够对神有更深的认识，在灵界里面有更清楚的体验，那我们的服侍神会心甘情愿，充满着感谢。
Today, if we have been called and if we have experienced God in the Spirit, then we will be willing to suffer gladly.
甚至我们受苦，我们也觉得这是一种恩典。
In fact, when we suffer, we will understand that it is a grace of God.
因此有时候我们可以勉励人出来做工，但是到最后最重要的关键还是这个人本身，他跟神的关系，他对灵界的认识的体验。
While people can encourage someone to serve God, ultimately the most important motivation is this individual's personal experience and knowledge of God.
这样的话，这个服事才不会后退，才不会后悔，才不会改变。
Only with that kind of motivation will his ministry not decline or dwindle.
所以第二章的呼召之前，第一章他看到一个灵界里面的异象。
This explains why Ezekiel was given the vision before he was called.
那这个第一章灵界的异象里面就分作三点。
The vision in chapter 1 consists of three parts.
第一个是四活物。
The first part is regarding the four living creatures.
第二个是四轮。
The second part is the four wheels.
第三个是神的荣耀。
And the third part is the glory of God.
那我们发现这个三个互相有关系的。
These three parts are interrelated.
这个四活物当然在启示录里面也有描写四活物。
And the four living creatures can also be found in Revelation.
那主耶稣也的灵性也是可以说是像四活物一样。
The spiritual life of our Lord Jesus Christ or character of our Lord Jesus Christ can be compared to that of the four living creatures.
那启示录里面那个四活物也在描写一个灵性高深的这个圣徒。
The four living creatures in Revelation are symbolic of believers who have a noble spiritual spirituality.
但是在这个第一章这个四活物看起来似乎是指着服侍神的天使。
But the four living creatures in Ezekiel chapter 1 seem to describe the angels that serve God.
然后到了这个四轮。
And what about the four wheels?
这个四轮就比较奥秘，很难解得很清楚。
The four wheels are rather mysterious, and it is difficult to explain.
但是能够确定的，这个四轮不是物质上那个四轮。
But one thing we know for sure, these are not physical wheels.
因为这个四轮四周都长满了眼睛。
Because these wheels have eyes all over them.
而且这个四轮也会活动。
And they were very mobile.
可见这个四轮不是物质的死的，这是活的。
These are not dead objects; they are living things.
但是这个四轮是跟着四活物的。
And these four wheels follow the four living creatures.
而且这个四活物的灵在这个四轮当中。
And the spirit of the living creatures were in the wheels.
所以似乎可以了解这个四轮也是天使。
So we can also conjecture or guess that the wheels are also angels.
但是四活物跟四轮之间有一个次序。
However, there is an order between the living creatures and the wheels.
而且四活物、四轮跟这个神的荣耀也有一个次序。
And there is also an order between the living creatures and the wheels and the glory of God.
那这个次序是什么？
What is that order?
请看二十六节，第一章二十六节。
Let's read chapter 1 verse 26.
说在他们头的以上的穹苍上有宝座的形象。
Above the firmament over their heads was the likeness of a throne.
哦，这个他们就是指的四活物或者四轮。
It's referring to the four living creatures and the four wheels.
在他们的上面有宝座的形象。
Above them was the likeness of a throne.
哦，所以这个宝座是在他们上面。
The throne was above these things.
主坐在高高的宝座上，他住坐在至高之处。
The Lord was seated high above on his throne.
那他服侍他的天使跟我们人都是在下面的。
And all of his servants and angels are below him.
所以我们看在这个灵界的服侍里面是很有秩序的。
So in the spiritual realm, there is an order to everyone's ministry.
而且有归属。
And there is a sense of belonging.
啊，好像那个哥林多书里面那个保罗在讲啊，工人是属信徒，信徒是基督，基督是属神的。
As Paul wrote in his epistle to the Corinthians, the workers are of the believers, and the believers are of Christ, and Christ is of God.
是有归属的，是有秩序的。
There is an order as well as a belonging.
那今天我们在教会里面的服事也是这样。
This is the same with our ministry in the church.
我们在教会里面应该有一个归属。
We should have a sense of belonging in the church.
你不论什么样的服事，到最后我们都有一个归属。
Regardless of your area of ministry, you need to belong somewhere.
我们不能够脱离说我是直接属神的，教会我不听，我们这一个群体也不属谁的。
You cannot dissociate yourself from the organization and say that you report only to God. You don't report to anybody.
没有归属，容易发生问题。
Without any kind of belonging, you will run into problems.
没有归属就不容易有秩序。
Without this reporting function, there is disorder.
但是如果有归属，也不一定会有秩序。
But just because you feel a sense of belonging doesn't mean that there is necessarily order.
这个秩序还要从顺服来的。
Order also requires submission.
就是顺服神给我们设立那个本位。
And submission includes submission to the place God has assigned us.
犹大书里面在讲天使不守本位的天使。
In the book of Jude, we learn about the angels who left their assigned place.
他不愿意接受神给他安定这个秩序。
They were unsubmissive to the a place that God had assigned them.
那他就没有资格再服侍神。
So they became unfit to serve God.
所以我们在服侍神哦，要有归属，要有秩序。这个是以西结在第一章灵界里面我们可以看得出来。
So in serving God, we need to have a right sense of belonging and follow the order. And this is what we can learn from Ezekiel's vision.
那这个就是我们在灵界里面要看到。哦，第二个，我们要有顺服的心，要谦卑，要有顺服的心。
This is what we must see in the spiritual realm, and we must also have a submissive heart to accept that.
也因为这个样子，所以我们才知道说，服侍神虽然表面上我们是在做一个工作，打扫、煮饭、接待各样的工作，但是其实哦，灵性很重要。
So on the surface, we may be simply carrying out different tasks in the church, such as cooking or cleaning. But spiritually speaking, our spiritual character is very important.
因为你看《使徒行传》，他们拣选七个管理饭食的人。
When the apostolic church chose seven people to serve on the tables.
但是他们拣选那个条件是属灵的。
Their criteria for selection was based on spiritual qualities.
要充满着智慧。
They must be full of wisdom.
要圣灵充满。
And of the Holy Spirit.
就是他们能够看到在灵界里面啊，服事是怎么一回事。
They must understand what serving spiritually is all about.
他们的本位在哪里。
They must understand their place.
啊，神的心意是什么。
They must understand God's heart.
那如果这个属灵的条件没有，我们很热心在服事，常常会造成教会的混乱。
Without this spiritual criteria, serving God can create chaos.
好，所以在第七节第一章里面看到这个四活物、四轮，还有神荣耀的形象。
In Ezekiel chapter 1, we learn about this vision of the four living creatures, the wheels, and the appearance of God.
好，那在这个第一章里面还有几个很重要的特点。
There are other important characteristics of chapter 1.
比方说，我们看第十三章第十三节。
Let's read verse 13.
至于四活物的形象，就如烧着的火炭的形状，又如火把的形状，在四活物中间上聚下来。这火的光辉从火把或中闪电，这四活物往来奔走，像闪电一样。
And verse 14.
这里说，四活的形状如烧着火的形状，又如火把的形状。
The likeness of the living creatures was like burning coals of fire and torches.
那我们看到这个神的荣耀。
Then we read about God's appearance, God's glory.
我们看这个神的形状，三十七节。
Let's read verse 27.
我看见从他的腰以上仿佛有光耀的金金，四围都有火的形状，又见他从腰以下仿佛有火烈火的形状，周围也有光辉。 所以这个四活物的形状跟这个神的荣耀的形状很接近。
There is a similar likeness between that of the four living creatures and that of God.
那个神的荣耀里面那个如火，这代表神的公义，还有神的圣洁。
The fire we see in God's glory represents God's holiness and
圣洁。
God's holiness.
还有神的公义。
And God's justice.
那这个四活物里面的这个一样有这个火。
And we also see this appearance in the living creatures.
好像我们看那个以赛亚书看到那个撒拉佛在服侍，撒拉佛原来的意思就是焚烧的意思。
And if we read Isaiah, we see the vision of the seraphs. The word seraph actually means, or seraphim actually means the burning one.
那焚烧就代表洁净。
And burning is a symbol of purity.
所以让我们了解，我们要服侍神，要跟神的本性越来越接近。
To serve,
我们才能够越来越靠近神。
In order to serve God, we must draw closer and closer to God's likeness.
那我们本来人有人的本性。
We have our human nature.
但是我们要接近神的本性，这就是一种灵修的功夫。
But we must become more like God, and that requires spiritual cultivation.
那就是我们现在在这里所追求的。
And that is the reason why we're here.
所以服侍不只是表面上我在教会里面做什么工作。
So serving is more than doing something superficially in the church.
如果我们的服侍要越来越靠近神，那包括我们在灵性里面不断的需要成长。
If we want to draw closer to God as we serve, we must grow spiritually.
使我们跟神的性情越来越接近。
So that we may acquire God's likeness.
好，那这个第一章看到这个荣耀的形象之后，第二章神的呼召就来到了。
After Ezekiel saw the glorious glory of God, then the calling came in chapter 2.
从第二章的第一节到第七节就提到神的呼召。
Chapter 2, 1 through 7, talks about God's calling.
我们看第三节。
Let's read verse 3.
第一节哈。 他对我说，人子啊，你要站起来，我要和你说话。第二节。
Let's start with verse 1.
他对我说话的时候，灵就进到我里面，使我站起来。我便听见那位对我说话的声音。这里说，神对我说话，他的灵就进到我里面，使我站起来。
And verse 2, the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me.
然后我就听见神的声音。
And set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me.
那我们这里可以看到，神讲话的时候，神的灵就进到我们里面，道跟灵是合在一起的。
When God speaks, his Spirit enters us. So God's word and spirit are together.
那这个神的灵进到我们里面，我们就听到那位对我们说话的声音。
And when God's Spirit enters us, we hear him who speaks to us.
也就是说对神讲的话听得懂，能够听得很清楚。
That means when we have the Spirit of God, we can understand God's word.
所以哥尼流正在讲道，圣灵就降下来。
That's why while Cornelius was listening to Peter's message, the Holy Spirit came upon them.
因此有时候我们在听到一篇很感动的道理的时候，我们跪下来祷告，圣灵会特别充满。
That's why when we hear a very moving sermon and then kneel down to pray, we are filled with the Holy Spirit.
因为灵跟道是合在一起的。
This is because God's Spirit and God's word go hand in hand.
所以神对以西结的呼召是在灵里面对他讲话。
God called Ezekiel through speaking to him in the spirit.
第三节啊。
Let's read verse 3.
人子啊，我要差你往伯尼的国民以色列人那里去，他们是是悖逆伯尼。悖逆哈，悖逆我的啊，他们和他们的祖宗违背我，直到如今。第四节
，four，
这个众子面无羞耻，心里刚硬，我要差你往他们那里去，你们要对他们说，主如此说啊。第五节
，five，
他们或听或不听，必知道在你们中间有先知，所以神告诉他们说，告诉以西结要做的事情是很难的一件事情。
God gave Ezekiel a difficult assignment。
哦，说他们心是刚硬的。
These were stubborn people.
哦，但是到了第三章哦，他心有多硬呢
？In chapter three, we see how hard their heart was.
第七节
，verse seven.
以色列家却不肯听从你，因为他们不肯听从我。原来以色列全家是额尖心硬的人。哦，然后再看第八节
，verse eight.
看呐、啊，我要使你的脸硬过他们的脸，使你的额硬过他们的额。第九节
，nine，
我要使你的额像金刚钻，比火石更硬。他们虽然是悖逆之家，你们不要怕他，因为也不要因他们的脸色惊慌。所以这里在描写说，好像金刚石非常硬，心非常硬。
They were hard-hearted like stone。
所以啊，这个工作很难做。
So his assignment was very hard。
因此第一节到第七节告诉他他要做什么。
Verses 1 through 7 describe or record his mission。
那在这个呼召之前同时也告诉他第六节。
And before that, in verse 6, God told him,
人子啊，虽有荆棘跟棘藜在你那里，又住在靴子中间，总不要怕。这个就代表以西结将会受的苦。
Even though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of them. This is referring to the sufferings that he would experience.
荆棘跟棘藜会刺你，蝎子会咬你。
He will be pricked by briars and thorns and bitten by scorpions.
但是你总不要怕。
But God told him not to be afraid.
为什么不要怕？
Why?
因为神要跟他同在。
Because God will be with them.
那个神就是他第一章所看到的神。
And this is the God that he saw in the vision of chapter 1.
非常荣耀，非常尊贵的神。
The glorious and majestic God.
而且这个神是有很多很大能力天使在服侍他的神。
And this is the God that the mighty angel served.
所以这个神要成为他的服侍的一个后盾，一个帮助。
This God will be his motivation and his help.
所以不要怕。
He must not be afraid.
那第二章第八节到第三章第三节就在讲要装备自己。
Chapter 2 verse 8 to chapter 3 verse 3 speak of equipping himself.
服事很重要，但是要装备。
It's important to serve, but we must be equipped first.
默祷。